Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hour number two here of Cody and Gold on 610 Sports Radio. Don't forget to take us with you on the free radio.com app. Just tell your smart speaker, hey Google, hey Alexa, turn on 610 Sports Radio. You can take us all day long.
Cody and Bold on the go.
Come on, man. It's the holiday weekend. You're driving down to the lake. You might as well listen to some sports radio for the day.
That's right.
Enjoy me and Pete Sweeney, who's in for Gold, and then Kramer. Sansone? How do you pronounce your last name?
Sansone. It's Italian.
That's something.
It's Italian. I would have never guessed.
He needs to get a nickname like Uno Cero.
His name is Kramer, which already feels like there's a famous Kramer. You can't be the second famous Kramer.
How about the Sandman?
Whatever you want to call me.
He likes
Binkley
that.
Just calls him Kramer.
That's what people say when they like the nickname you just came up for them. Whatever you want. That's a good, you know.
Whatever you want.
Liking that one.
He doesn't
the
want to
Sandman.
Seem too ambitious because right. Then it'll make it seem like he chose the nickname.
Exactly.
So he's got to, you know, he's got to be smart about it.
Sandman, I mean, you are a pro wrestler in training. A great historic pro wrestler.
That's true.
History. ECW guy.
Well, means he's going to have to do a different. He's going to have to do a different name then.
Enter Sandman by Metallica.
He needs a nickname that works both for the radio and for his future pro wrestling career.
True.
We head out to the 610 hotline. That's where we're going to talk some more baseball with our next guest, David Leske, over at Baseball Prospectus. Leske, it's been a while, buddy. I haven't had you on a single second because no baseballs occurred, and now finally we're close to baseball. So thanks for joining us.
Well, we're close in the calendar. Let's hope we get.
What's your optimism level right now that we'll actually come, what, 3 weeks from now, play baseball? 4 weeks from now?
So 3 weeks from tomorrow for the Royals. I think a couple teams are going to start 3 weeks from today, theoretically. No, I mean, here's the thing. I think it's going to happen whether it should or not. So I believe there will be baseball played unless it's just we're going to get some numbers here probably in the next few days as people came to camp yesterday. Unless it's insane, they're going to push through. They're going to power through as hard as possible. I'm 95% optimistic they're going to play on the 23rd and 24th. I'm like 60% that they're going to be playing on September 27th when the season's supposed to be over.
Well, and that's the part where they keep, like, the owners keep saying the same thing you do, unless it's significant, unless there's, what is too many? Like I pointed out the numbers, 90 would be the normal percentage we've seen from the other leagues if 90 guys tested positive. Mm-hmm. Is 200 too many? Or is 200 too many in August but not too many in, you know, July 2nd?
Well, I mean, if you think about it, all these, I'm guessing there were a bunch of tests administered yesterday and probably today. Knowing the timeline, I mean, they might get a little quicker than the general public does. So maybe we'll have some answers Sunday or Monday as to the numbers. If I don't think they're going to be as worried about huge numbers today as, like you said, they would be in the middle of the season. So if a bunch of guys come back positive, they'll monitor and see what's going on and hope it doesn't spread like crazy. And then if it doesn't, game on. If it does, then have another conversation. But, you know, 30 teams, there's probably an average of 50, 55 players in camp for all of them. They can get up to 60. They'll eventually all get up to 60, I would assume. I can't imagine you wouldn't.
I don't know why you wouldn't take advantage of it.
I guess part of it is if you have to release the player if you want to take them off the 60-man, unless they're on the COVID IL, which we won't know, or the 45-day IL now. So it's just a lot of confusing stuff there. But you know, even if it's 50 people, you're right, 1,500 people in camp, 6% is 90. I don't know what the number is. Is it 400, 200, 600, 1,200? I don't know. I don't know what it would have to be for the owners to say, or I guess for them to all kind of, I guess the owners can do unilaterally, but to say, all right, wrap it up, we're done. Or wrap it up for 2 weeks, we're going to take a couple weeks off. I don't know. I don't know what the number is, and I honestly hope we don't find out, because I feel like the number is so high that if we find out, it's really bad.
David, Pete Sweeney here. Thank you for joining us on Cody and Gold. Happy to be filling in here. I mean, let's just get down to business here. 60-game season. Are the Royals going to win the World Series or not?
If they don't, it's the biggest disappointment of all time. Right? You know, it's funny because I made a joke when they were negotiating, and I figured it was going to be like 66 games and 8 playoff teams. And I said that the next time fans will be in the stands at Kauffman, we'll be raising a banner for the 28-38 World Champion Royals. I don't, you know, with they didn't expand the playoffs because they didn't come to a new agreement. So it makes it a little bit more difficult. But look, they have a much better shot at 60 games than they did at 162 games. And there's at least that, which is fine, I guess. I mean, young pitching pitches exceptionally well, and the offense kind of performs where they did at their peaks from last season. They have a shot to be pretty decent, and pretty decent could be enough in a 60-game season. So it's much more possible than it was 4 months ago, which is my nice way of saying, yeah, I don't think so.
Wouldn't it assist them if they were just more willing to take chances in younger pitchers than they typically would be? Wouldn't they be better with a pitching staff that had,
yeah,
I don't care, Lacey, Singer, Coar, and Lynch in the bullpen?
Yeah, I mean, they might not be, but they're much more likely to be good with high-end talent than they are with some of the guys they're running out there. Look, I like Mike Montgomery. I think he's a perfectly acceptable pitcher on a pitching staff. But, I mean, you're probably not going to win a World Series with him as one of your top four starters. You might with Daniel Lynch or Jackson Coar or Asa Lacy. You know, we know what Mike Montgomery is. We don't really know what those guys are, and there's clearly higher-end talent. It's kind of ironic to say that because, obviously, we would have said the same thing. If this happened 10 years ago, we'd be saying, wouldn't you rather have Mike Montgomery in your rotation than – I don't even know who was in the 2010 rotation that I can think of off the top of my head. But, you know, wouldn't you rather have him? And now we're saying, wouldn't you rather have these guys? But, I mean, yeah, it in a short season, go with the talent and hope it flows for a few weeks and you can score some wins. I think they'll probably have a mix. You know, the top four starters, it's going to be, assuming health, Keller, Duffy, Judas, and Montgomery. And then I would guess Brady Singer in the fifth starter spot at this point. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. I think we'll probably see some Jackson Coar this year. I don't know about Daniel Lynch or Chris Bubich. But, you know, they're probably going to kind of try to thread the needle a little bit, which they do quite a bit. And it annoys you because you want them to pick one lane, and they don't typically. But, you know, we'll see how it goes. And, again, it's 60 games. Weird things happen in 60 games, right? So in the Dayton Moore era, the Royals have had 60-game stretches of 500 or better 6 times during their losing season. So, hey, anything's possible, right? It could happen.
David, I obviously put a lot of my focus onto the Kansas City Chiefs every day. You're plugged into the Royals. Something I've seen a lot of is, well, they need to get off to a hot start. I've seen Mike Matheny come back and say, we're not really focusing on that. How critical, in your mind, is the first 10-15 games of this thing going to be?
Well, I mean, think about it. Look at 15 games, and if the Royals were 12-28 after 40 games, season's over, right?
Right.
So if they're 6-14 after after 20 games or something like that, season's kind of over. Because if you look at it, you probably need at a minimum 34 wins to take the division, and probably that to win a wild card as well.
Last year, 32-33 would have done it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, 33 maybe, but if you start off, let's go back to the 15 game, if you're 4-11 in order to get to 33 wins, you got to go 29-16. I don't know that this team has a 29-16 stretch in them for 45 games, but they probably have like a 25-20 stretch in them. And so, you know, you start off decently, and yeah, you could they could maybe make some noise. But so I think, and it is a lot more like football this year. It's funny because every year, I always think about, you know, people are, they're 0-2, and people are going, oh my God, what are we going to do? They're 0-2. And I'm like, yeah, you're like 4 minutes into the first quarter of the first football game, if you want to put it in that perspective.
Right.
And this
you're like
year,
2 weeks from the trade deadline after 20 games.
Right, exactly. This year, you're 0-2, and you're like, oh, well, geez, I mean, it's not over, but you got to win the game pretty quickly here. And teams can start 0-3, 0-4, 0-5 in baseball and win 100 games. You start 0-5 this year, you might be done. You might be done already at 0-5, which is crazy to think about. And not the uber-talented teams, because they had the chance, you know, Dodgers, what was it, 2017, when they went 51-9 in a 60-game stretch?
Which is ridiculous.
I mean, it's unreal. And it wouldn't surprise me if they'd get close to that this year, honestly. But yeah, the start really matters, because there's just not a lot of games to play. You don't have time to make it up. The beauty of baseball, typically, is that 2 weeks off, you know, 2 weeks of bad baseball, you get over it. 2 weeks of bad baseball this year, you're probably watching the playoffs at home. It's just a very different field this season.
This is a complicated question when it comes to a 60-game season, because you might have a different answer depending on 162-game season and all the things that go with it. But if they're going to make the playoffs, who is the Royals' most important player now in 2020?
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, 60 games.
Answer's different in 162, order, for sure.
Absolutely. I feel like you look at the guys who are probably going to be there regardless. And I, Soler's health is a question, but Soler, Dozier, who, again, he's a question, too, because he's only done it one season. Merrifield, even Salvador Perez, I feel like you know what you're going to get from him. To me, it's Adalberto Mondesi. If he can stay healthy and put it together for 60 games, and he only has to stay healthy for 2 months, which he's done. He's done that twice now. The last two seasons, he said he's definitely had two straight months of health. If he can put it all together and kind of even take a step forward from his 2018 half season, where he was so good for those 75 games, I mean, that's where it's going to come from. Because you got to look at the guys who have the top end talent and the highest end ability, and he to me is the guy. And then you look elsewhere too. I mean, if Brady Singer, who like I said, I think will be the fifth starter, if he comes out and has 12 dazzling starts, that's going to help too. But ultimately, the guy on the field every day with the highest talent level, and I think that's Mondesi.
Lesky, we appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of your holiday weekend. I hope you're off tomorrow and the rest of the weekend, and we'll catch up here soon enough. Maybe even get a poker game together between the three of us. That occasionally is a good.
Yeah. We do it on the air, too. Who knows?
Be great.
Just do it on the air? Just
be the most competitiveness we've had in Kansas City on the air in a while.
It would be interesting to try to do sports topics and find out if we can play cards against each other.
I like the challenge. I'm up for it.
I'm in.
Appreciate the time, Lesky.
Yep, thanks, guys.
Catch his work over at Baseball Prospectus. You'll hear him here as well during the baseball season. It's been a while since I talked to him. Usually talk.
You were saying off air. You just
Royal stuff.
No longer interested in having him on, typically.
But I felt bad.
Because he's dull. He's a dull interview. That's what you said. Just kidding. I would say this, though. This baseball season is going to be far from dull. This is awesome. I think with the size of the season is going to make for, I don't want to say a playoff like atmosphere every game, but typically
it's going to feel more like the NFL, where maybe not one game matters, but a sweep crushes your spirit.
And you go to the park during a regular season, and I understand we won't be going to the park this year, but you go to a park during a regular season, and if the Royals lose, you're like, well, you know, maybe they win tomorrow. And even for the better teams, we'll say that. I mean, you look at the best teams, they lose 60 times a year. This, especially at the beginning, that was why I asked that question to David, especially at the beginning, if the Royals can get on a little bit of a roll.
Even just like a 7-3 start dramatically increases your chances.
You're going to start to feel good, and you start feeling good. You know how baseball is. You can really get on this type of hot streak, and hopefully you can keep it going. And in 2 months to play pretty good baseball for 2 months, if you can get on a roll at the beginning, again, it seems obvious, right? But it's a lot easier to do that is if you come out of the gates and you lose 4 or 5 games out of 6.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, because then you're automatically in a hole and you're not giving yourself a chance. But, man, this is going to be relevant baseball. The latest we've had it in Kansas City in, what, 4 years?
Yeah, 2016 they were competitive still.
Right.
And 2017, slightly. But again, in the last, so he mentioned the Dayton Moore, they've had a game, a stretch over 500 in any 60-game sample 6 times. In the first 60 games, they've only done it once when they won the World Series. So slow starting has been a serious problem for Kansas City.
Yeah, we're reversing that this year.
They got to find that middle 60.
Right. That I think is the key. And for those of you who are out there, and I've done this myself, where you've played baseball video games growing up, 162 games, I'll say for me, was always too much. So I would shorten it to about 60. And so that was more fun. This might be the most fun baseball season because of the meaning of games that we've maybe ever seen, as long as everything else, and it's a huge question mark, as long as everything else cooperates.
Only baseball game I ever played 162 of was Ken Griffey Jr. Baseball on Super Nintendo.
Wow.
That was it.
Classic.
But we also used to fill out all their names to the actual rosters of that time instead of like the weirdo names. So
that is
There was some commitment. Yeah, there was commitment to it when we were kids.
I mean, game 89 for the Virtual Royals tonight. Let's go.
What is going on in the Virtual Royals? Can we get a quick Virtual
Royals?
Sure,
yeah, let's get it.
Well, they just got off a 6-game winning streak. We had a doubleheader yesterday in 2 different cities, which was the first
time. That's a challenge.
First time ever.
Baseball history.
We won the game in Detroit, so that's good.
That is.
Jorge Soler has 34 home runs, and we're almost at the All-Star break, which is great. The young stud.
Pacing for 60.
Oh, yes. Young stud Patrick Mahomes has, I believe, 19.
Forgot that Mahomes is on that team.
Yep.
First double athlete. Feels a little Bo Jackson-like.
I feel like he would be a pitcher, not a hitter, but I don't know. He do whatever he wants.
He's two-way.
This guy's got a long leash in Kansas City as far as whatever he wants to do goes.
So we can catch doubleheader action again tonight?
Yes, starting at 3:15 today. Okay. Over on our YouTube page or Facebook.
I like it. Pay attention to the Virtual Royals. You don't have any real Royals to watch for at least 3 weeks.
I'm surprised, Cody, that you haven't made a drinking game out of the Virtual Royals. Every Soler home run?
Today at 3:15. Today at 3:15, I'm in, Pete. You can join me after your brief meeting.
Sure.
Today at 3:15, we can continue our betting on the Virtual Royals.
Sounds good.
We'll get to our countdown to opening day here in just a minute. Every single day, taking a look at a different Royals topic. But I'm curious to know where fans are on this end as well. As we're getting closer to these sports seasons, you might see this in Major League Baseball as well. If they allow fans in the stands, the Royals have stated that they're still optimistic that is a possibility for them. But the NFL has started to circulate around a waiver. Pete, waiver you would sign, requiring fans to sign away a waiver, not, you know, you get the idea. We're not responsible if you catch COVID-19 or have complications right as a result of it. And as a reward for that, you get to sit inside the stadium. I'm assuming at this point, if you're willing to go to a game in the fall for the Chiefs, or if you're willing to go to a game in 4 weeks for the Royals, you are willing to sign this waiver. This to me is a lot different than the one they were asking college players to sign. And something I assume we're probably going to see a lot of in sports for the next year.
You know, right or wrong or whatever, however you feel.
We waive those rights for foul balls anyway. It's the same thing. The ticket just says, you get struck by a foul ball, sucks to be you.
There's a lot of people out there who are going to do this in Kansas City and elsewhere. You're telling me that you could sign a waiver and still go to the Chiefs game?
Will they raise the banner?
There is a lot of people that are still going to go. And I think that's fair. I think if you're willing to sign a waiver and okay, you're assuming that risk, then you should be allowed to go into the game. I don't have a problem with that. Do you have a problem with the waiver?
I don't. I had a real problem with it when they were trying to make college players sign it because they don't get any benefit. Like,
right.
They don't have medical coverage for life. They are only given scholarships. They aren't allowed to make money off of anything. Like, no, you're not making me sign a waiver that says you're on the hook. Like, I'm not taking that. But if I'm a fan, I'm making the decision. It stinks sometimes to spend money and then also put at risk. But you know what you're getting into now. If you're traveling to a game, these waivers are going to be super commonplace, probably for the foreseeable future. Not this year. I could see it next or the year after, or it just being the thing like the foul ball in the back of the ticket. Sorry if a pandemic hits while you're in the stadium and you catch it. That's on you.
And I see these mentions. And for lack of maybe better terms, it's an honor to serve fans that care so much about the Kansas City Chiefs. There's a lot of people out there. I can just say from the Chiefs is their absolute favorite thing.
Yes. You know,
maybe their job isn't as fulfilling as they want or whatever, but they make enough money. They can go to the Chiefs game, enjoy Sunday. And now for the first time in 50 years, they are rooting for a defending champion. And you're going to have a waiver that says, okay, I can go in the stadium. I think there's a good amount of people who would say, okay, let's do it.
And truth is, the way this is probably going to work is they're going to take all the season ticket holders for the Chiefs and they're going to put them in a lottery. They draw your name. They're going to give you two games to choose from. And you're going to buy tickets to both of those games.
Right.
And you're going to sign your waiver. And you're not, like you said, you're not even going to think about it. And that's fine. Like, if you're willing, they're going to, like, I think they should maybe be spending some energy on making sure that they have very serious mask policies in place and how they're going to execute those things based on some of the things we've seen here recently. But if they want to, they got to work out the legality of it, too. It's one thing to wear a mask, but they also need to make sure that if some guy who has a few too many Coors Lights going in, right, doesn't get it on quite right, and then you get sick, they got to put themselves in a good position.
Right, and I think you can understand that. I think
I do. I'm not mad at teams for doing that.
There is a lot of folks out there, and I've seen, there's so many different takes on coronavirus and sports and whatever like that, where you just want to have the choice of, do you want to go back to living regularly? Now, I don't think you should be putting people who haven't signed waivers at risk, but this would take care of that. If you're agreeing to all those terms, you should have the choice to go and enjoy something that you really, really like during the fall. And I think that would be the Chiefs, and maybe to an extent you see it in baseball as we get maybe closer to the playoffs.
Yeah, you'll see that too. Baseball's been working through a lot of their protocols and have quite a bit in place. 913-576-7610 is the Smitty's Garage Burger and Beer text line. Let us know. I assume that if you're willing to go to a game, you're willing to sign a waiver. Some people may object to it, but I think that this is going to be pretty commonplace.
I think here's a good text. I just don't like the fact that it's not helping to eliminate the spread of it, which to me is a fair point.
Yeah, that's where the mask wearing, we want to know about your policies to keep people safe.
Right.
Like, you're leaking the waiver, fine, but what are you doing to actually prevent some of this stuff? But I think a lot of it is going to be the Chiefs game day experience, Pete. It's just not, it's sadly, this year, even if they let some fans in, is going to be so different than what you and I have grown accustomed to,
right,
being an Arrowhead. Tailgating for 4 hours. Think about all the videos, like BJ Kissel will send at 4:30 in the morning of the cars lined up
the
to go into
guy.
The stadium.
Yeah.
Like, that's done. Like, for this year, it's not going to look that way. The stands aren't going to look the same way. There will be policies in place that try to distance you, and it's going to make the game day experience not the one that I think people in Kansas City have really grown to love.
They call it the Sea of Red, and I know that is just a name that's put out by the Chiefs, but it truly is that on Sunday, and it's incredible to watch, especially during big plays from the press box, just seeing everyone,
the movement,
and the juice and the noise. The press box is soundproof. You can tell when that place is rocking. I think to an extent of this, though, like, I just think about this version of the Kansas City Chiefs. I understand there's a lot more of Patrick Mahomes left to see. I forget who it was, what baseball player it was. I think it was Lou Gehrig, but don't quote me here. But he said something to the extent of, that could be the first time someone's seeing me, so I want to give it my all.
Yeah.
You have a non-infinite amount of time to see Patrick Mahomes play in person. And I think that factors into it, too. You can make a case that in your lifetime, however old you are, you could be as young a listener right now as maybe like 11 or 12,
or
as
be
old
60.
As 50. You're not going to see another player like this. The odds are. So you want to be able to take advantage of this time period when you get to watch who is looking like maybe the best quarterback of our generation, and he's right here in Kansas City for you. So I think some people will be thinking that along those lines when they do sign a waiver to go to Arrowhead.
They're not even going to think about it. Coming up next here on Cody and Gold, Pete's got a little game for us. A little blank or blank, it appears, going on the Chiefs end. Plus, a little bit more on Chris Jones and whether or not we should be overreacting to one picture of Breland Speaks. We'll do it next here on 610 Sports Radio.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at caseylend.com. Chiefs Red Half Hour, every day at 11:30 on Cody and Gold.
Hi, Time to start up the Chiefs red half hour here on Cody and Gold. Pete Sweeney.
Wow.
For the 2.5 hours we have remaining of Cody and Bold.
That's right. This is it. I mean, after this segment, I mean, this is why I'm here, and then I'm going to get out of here.
This is all you, man. The Chiefs red half hour. This is your time.
Yeah.
Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride.
2 hours is enough. I don't know how you guys do 4 hours.
5 days a week?
Yeah, it's laborious. Just say that.
Should be doing 2-hour shows, Kramer, and then just play the other 2 hours again and head home to the bar. I haven't been to a bar.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't that what nationally Colin Cowherd, doesn't he play the last hour, first hour, or like best hour for the last hour?
That, yeah.
Hey, think about it.
That guy's got a lot of money and is real successful. So whether we agree with his takes on who the best coach is or if Patrick Mahomes has good arm talent,
the Sandman could be
still
making
makes plenty of money.
A best of Cody and Pete. No one would know the difference that final hour. And then you're gone. That's it after the third hour.
I've been working on it.
Sweet.
We're good to go.
1 o'clock. This is gonna be awesome.
Extra hour of your vacation.
I like it. I'm off a couple of days next week. It's gonna be a treat. But this is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We'll talk nothing but Chiefs every day from 11:30 to 12.
Okay.
We start today with a little game for you, Pete.
Yes.
We've got some other things to get to, including the Chiefs' use of analytics. And coming up in 8 minutes, we'll talk a little bit about Breland Speaks as well. But
something,
help the people understand what we're going to do here.
Something I always heard during tryouts in high school is bring your game and not your name. And so I brought a game today. And it's what's more likely when it comes to the Chiefs. So you present two scenarios. I came up with three. I ran through it with Cody before, where you say, okay, one thing or the other, and you can have a discussion. And it's that simple. What's more likely? It's something that I actually found from the Around the NFL podcast. They do it for the entire league, but we're Chiefs focused here, and that's what we want to be. So let's start it with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So what's more likely here? Clyde Edwards-Helaire accumulates 1,000 scrimmage yards, or Sammy Watkins has 1,000 yards through the air?
Edwards-Helaire, right? I mean, 1,000 yards is a pretty decent amount for a rookie. I'm still like...
And he has...
Sammy Watkins had 1,000 yards in like 5 years, 6 years.
And he has both rushing and receiving on his side, too. The only thing that might get in his way is if, and there's a contingent of people who believe this, that Damian Williams will be once again the guy for a huge chunk, at least at the beginning of the season, so that could cut into yards. It's not easy to have 1,000 yards. We see it a lot in Kansas City because of the quarterback and how talented the weapons are, but it's not easy.
Damian Williams didn't have 1,000 scrimmage yards last year.
I would lean on Clyde here.
I think Sammy requires an injury or something from someone else.
Sammy rarely plays 16 games, it feels like, and so you really need to play close to at least a full season to get 1,000 yards, especially in this offense where you have to feed so many mouths. I'll take Clyde. I'm pretty high on Clyde. I think he's going to be the RB1 sooner than people realize, and so I think 1,000 is low for him, but I threw it out there.
Is it weird anytime somebody says so many mouths to feed, I just get that image of like a bird feeding like 5 other baby birds?
It's like Hungry Hungry Hippo, and one is Travis Kelce, one is Tyreek Hill, one is Sammy. McColl's even in there. There's so many hippos. It's the worst game of Hungry Hungry Hippo ever because you only get 3 catches.
Yeah, but the 2-year-old is running the yellow hippo for Sammy. He's not going to get as much to eat
as
those other guys.
That is, I mean, I've heard some Sammy Watkins slander in my day in this city, even for myself, I'll admit, and Carrington Harrison, who comes on after us at 2 o'clock p.m., the fact that a 2-year-old would play his Hungry Hungry Hippo may be the worst Sammy slander I've ever heard.
Yeah, but you got to really dig deep to understand it. All right, I'll give you one because we've got a few of these to get through.
Mm-hmm.
What's more likely to happen first? Chris Jones gets a $100 million contract or Tyreek Hill gets a $100 million contract? I do not care the team. Just which guy is more likely to get a $100 million contract first?
$100 million from
anybody.
See, I don't even know if Chris Jones's contract would total $100 million. From another team, even if they were paying.
That's just what DeForest Buckner got.
Didn't he make 84?
Yeah, it was something like that.
Are you saying like almost like a max contract? So let's assume.
Yes.
Okay, so let's go that way. It's got to be Chris Jones. I mean, Tyreek just had his. He just came up.
Yeah, but they only paid him for a couple of years.
Wasn't a 3-year deal. Like went 58.
My thought is Tyreek Hill might be more likely to hit the TV bubble. Chris Jones is going to become a free agent in a flat cap year. Tyreek Hill is going to become a free agent when some of that incoming TV money comes down.
Right.
In 3 years from the NFL, which means more money to go around. And $18 million a year? I mean, $20 million a year? You're talking about a five-year deal, $100 million? That doesn't seem crazy to me.
My thing is, we're just at a point with Chris Jones where next year is going to be the year he gets his deal. It just has to be. And even if that's not in Kansas City, I got to think there's some team out there that's going to believe in Jones enough to compensate him as he wants. It may not be $100 million, but it'll be closer to Buckner's contract than the Chiefs
$21 million a year.
Are ever willing to do. Yeah.
I still think it's Tyreek Hill. That's more likely.
Should we move on?
Yeah.
Frank Clark in 2020, this is assuming they play 16 games. Frank Clark gets 10 sacks or Travis Kelce gets 10 touchdowns.
Oh, man. I mean, you just mentioned all the mouths to feed on the
Not
offensive
taking that
end.
Kelce hippo either, huh?
Travis Kelce only has 39 career touchdowns.
He doesn't get a ton of touchdowns. He's a yard machine, a yak machine.
But he did have 10 touchdowns 2 years ago when Patrick Mahomes threw for 50.
Right.
So Patrick Mahomes has to throw for 50 touchdowns for him to get 10?
Mm-hmm.
I'll take Clark, I guess. I don't know. I mean,
don't be so sad about it.
10 sacks is not an impossible number for a play. Now, I could say, you know, he's had, you know, Frank Clark's had, how many times has he had a 10-sack season versus how many times has he had, you know, a 10-touchdown season? And the answer is still kind of limited, but he had 8 sacks last year, and he was barely healthy. I think I got to take Clark. He's had 10 sacks twice, by the way.
I'm going with Clark. I think the only thing that prevented him from getting 10 sacks last year was the fact that he was so injured early.
He's going to have Chris Jones helping him out this year.
He's the type of guy, Clark, it felt like he should have been on the injured list with just a broken body. And so, assuming he doesn't have that this year, I think he has a better chance of getting to 10 sacks. Again, not that I don't believe in Kelce. Kelce has the power to do it. And if there was one less weapon on the Chiefs, you might even be able to assume he gets close to there. So right now I'll go with Frank.
Still too many weapons for the Chiefs in that. More likely, the Chiefs play a 16 game regular season this year.
Yeah.
So now you're starting to be a health expert. Or Jorge Soler hits 20 home runs in 60 games for the Royals.
Mm.
18, by the way, is the equivalent of a 50 home run season. Just so you know the math on a 60 game season. 18 would be like a 50 home run season. Mm. Soler did have a stretch of 20 home runs in 60 games last year. And the virtual Royals, Kramer, is like, he said he's got like 35 of the All-Star break.
Right, right. I am more interested in Patrick Mahomes
on the
virtual Royals.
So do you think
the
NFL gets through a full season, or we're just counting on Jorge Soler to slug some dingers?
I really like Jorge Soler. He's one of my favorite Royals to watch. But I think it's more likely the NFL. The one thing I know about the NFL since covering and really just being a fan before that, so that was, you know, since I was a kid, is the shield rolls on. And so I don't think that there's any way, somehow, some way, the NFL finds a way to play 16 games for everybody.
People will have to die for the NFL not to play 16 games, so I'll take that, I guess.
And not even the case. There's been deaths and where the NFL still plays their game on Sunday. So, like I said, I've just seen the shield roll on too many times for them to be stopped. Not that I don't believe in Jorge Soler. I mean, you know, we may...
Maybe both. Maybe this is a both for you.
We may get to 60 home runs in 60 games for Jorge Soler.
That'd be nuts.
All right. The Chiefs go undefeated and win the Super Bowl for the first perfect season since 1972.
Wow, bold.
Or, is it that bold? Or the Royals win 35 games and make the playoffs.
I like the standards just make the playoffs for the Royals with 35 games, which would probably get them the AL Central. Or the Chiefs have one of the greatest seasons of all time, as in 16-0. You predicted them to go 16-0 last year, didn't you?
Technically speaking, it would be 19-0.
Didn't you predict them to go undefeated last year?
And I might have wasted it on last year. And I'll say this, if injury...
Now it's going to be Boy Who Cried Wolf with you.
Yeah, I can't do it again. I've gone 13-3. I think the stretch at the beginning is tough. All things aside, that stretch at the beginning where I believe it's a division game and then they got the Bills on Thursday night and
the Texans and now the Patriots a little harder and the Ravens.
It's hard to get out of there. Perfect. So I assumed it may be like a 4-2 stretch and then one loss in the second half of the season because you're playing some good teams. 13-3 I'm going with this year. But in this little scenario, as much as I want to believe that baseball is going to be so much fun in Kansas City, and I'm hoping for that. I'm hoping and praying. I honestly think it actually is more likely for the Chiefs to go undefeated because they're the one team who is outstanding, who really hasn't changed from last year. And now we're seeing a lack of preseason games. Who knows if in-person workouts are going to be impacted by that.
And then you give the benefits to the teams who are less impacted.
What if the first time you really truly hit the field, or one of the first times you really truly hit the field, is week one? Who's going to be benefiting from that? It's the team that played
also,
together.
Also, you just said undefeated. So if the season got shortened in any way, because remember, one of the plausible scenarios is that they would chop out that Ravens game. How much easier to go undefeated? If the Ravens and Bucks game, you know, whatever. Ravens, I think it was the Ravens and Bills or Ravens and...
Yeah, you take those out.
Those games are gone. I mean, maybe a little easier.
And here's another point that is getting buried again because there's so much other stuff to talk about, both in sports and the world. If the Chiefs were to clinch that first round bye, they're the only team in the AFC that gets a bye now. So all the other teams have to play again. So that gives you a huge advantage in the playoffs that has been buried. So... Sorry, Royals. Look.
I'll take the Royals.
No. Yeah, don't be nice here.
I'm taking the Royals on this one.
Yeah, come on, just 35 wins. Come on, optimism.
Sometimes you got to look yourself in the mirror.
And should I say Patrick Mahomes is more likely to go 19-0 than the Royals are to win 35 games? I'm counting on the shortened season part to help me, to get me through. Last one for me.
About the Hippos.
Before we talk more about the Chiefs' use of analytics, Chris Jones, what's more likely? Chris Jones finishes his career in Kansas City, or our guy Kramer behind the glass becomes a professional wrestler.
Now, are we talking professional wrestler like...
I mean, paid to wrestle anywhere.
That's Impact, Ring of Honor, WWE.
NXT or whatever, right?
So how much money are we talking? Because if we're doing the little promotions that I've been doing, we should...
I mean, you don't have another job.
It has to be...
Oh, okay.
It has to be...
Like, your only source of income is wrestling.
Someone random... has a decent chance of having heard of it.
So Chris Jones has no chance to finish his career in Kansas City, I don't think, so I'll take Kramer, I guess.
The Sandman, I would say, the second coming of the Sandman. Sign me up for Kramer becomes a professional wrestler before Chris Jones finishes his career in Kansas City. And good on Kramer for really putting in the work.
Congrats.
What's your finishing move? Do you have one?
It's, Shelton Benjamin, right?
Yes.
It's the pay dirt.
Well, look at that. Ain't no stopping him, nah.
I don't even know what that is.
Well, there you go.
Is it a cool move, at least, Pete?
A jumping flatliner that I'm setting your face with the mat.
Probably doesn't feel good if you're an opposing wrestler. I'd put my money on Kramer.
At this point, don't I have to?
Especially when they ride him to win.
The Chiefs haven't wanted to put their money on Chris Jones, so it forces me to go in opposite direction. Maybe the next time you're in, Pete, we'll play a little more...
Chris Jones is going to look weird in another jersey.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know he's only with Kansas City probably... in the breadth of his career, it'll be for a short time if he goes on. But
so eventually it'll look normal, but it will look bizarre at first.
Right. It was like Dontari Poe did in that baby blue Carolina. Now he's a cowboy, Dontari Poe. Like Dontari Poe, man. He was doing the offensive plays before it was cool.
Hungry Pig Right before it was ever popular.
Hungry Pig Right. Never forget. Those were the days. Remember, before Mahomes, that is what we had to live for.
No wide receivers catching touchdown passes and praying for hungry pig rights. Ah, what a different time.
Right.
And well, this is not to slander the career of Alex Smith, who I still think is undervalued.
Let's not bury here the bloated Tebow either. The touchdown pass against the Broncos, which was one of the biggest salt in the wound moments I've ever seen.
It was unnecessarily vicious.
It was bad.
But it was also needed to just like permanently coffin the Broncos run at that division. Mm-hmm. Like that to me was the sign of like, you don't run things anymore.
Right.
We're done with that now and we're going to be in charge.
It was
because
like
the Broncos dominated that division for a long time.
The bloated Tebow was the, you know, we just talked about pro wrestling. It was like the Undertaker doing the tombstone and throwing someone in the casket. That was it. I mean, they weren't coming back from that. Rest in peace.
Not versus when the Undertaker like rises from the casket, right?
Well, we hope that Drew Locke doesn't do that for the Broncos. I don't think he will. He's got some weapons around him too. It should be an interesting season if they can play it.
I would think so. Pete Sweeney is in here for Cody and Gold. We got another 2 hours for you. We're off tomorrow because it's 4th of July weekend. We'll talk about the things that... we'll come up for the weekend with you later in the weekend slate. Coming up at 1 o'clock, Vahe Gregorian on some of the state of where they are now. And coming up at noon, we're going to talk about Rob Manfred and why he might get himself fired versus Cody just trying to get it done. Yeah, that's me. I was trying to do it. But there was one picture floating around social media. Breland Speaks was apparently been working out. Not to mention, I also had an Amazon delivery driver tell me that he looked like he was in tremendous shape. So the rumors are spreading.
That's right.
The Breland Speaks is in fantastic condition. Is it too early to have this best shape of his life. This is the breakout year for Breland Speaks conversation because of one Instagram post? Or do we legitimately need to be having the conversation about him being used? And one of the people suggested, like, oh, he looks so big, maybe he could be playing some D-tackle for them.
Yeah.
Maybe this is their answer.
That's
for the
angle.
Chris Jones conversation. Mm-hmm. Are we talking ourselves into Breland Speaks? I know we're without sports for a little bit, but I'm just not there yet with him.
I think Breland Speaks' best chance to make an impact on the team is to maybe go to the defensive tackle position and really embrace what the coaching staff is telling him. A big problem with Chris Jones has been his freelancing and where they want him more as a run-fit guy, and he wants to sack the passer because that's how you get paid. As far as the photo goes, so last year was a photo, and it wasn't good, and I feel terribly about it. I know that fat shaming isn't a thing, but he was, for lack of better terms,
not in good shape.
He was fat shamed, and he had a shirt on. This new picture, he has no shirt on, and he does look, I guess, a little bit thinner, but not to the point where, like, you know, you have your cousin or, like, your friend who has before and after pictures, and you're like, whoa. You went on some kind of diet. I mean,
sure.
To me, Speaks,
our guy Kett's out here. First time I saw him in months.
Look at him. He is a skinny little guy.
Dropping the LBs.
There. Yeah. So I don't think he's to that point, but he does look a little bit stronger. And if there's ever a time to come to camp in the cliche, in the trope, best shape of your life, now's the time for Breland Speaks. You talk about last chances. You know, we talked about that for Taco Charlton. This is really Breland Speaks' last chance, and he should be willing to play anywhere, as we already described. And at least physically, it looks better than last year is what I'll give him, right?
It does. But the question is, like, to what, like, he still has to, part of his issue still is being on the field.
Right.
Like, we talk about with weight with him, like, part of his issues with being in shape might have simply been relied upon the fact he couldn't stay healthy. You know how hard it is to be in shape when you're not healthy? Like, I got a brace on my foot right now because occasionally my dumb foot, I have extra tissue in it, and then it gets irritated and becomes difficult to walk on.
Mm.
It's the dumbest possible thing, but then it means I can't, like, jog as regularly as I would like to.
Right.
It's difficult for Breland Speaks if he can't. And I'm just an unhealthy person, so I got other problems. But Breland Speaks, I mean, it is hard if you're not going to play.
It's just been a tough career for Speaks, and you know, people forget this, but they gave Breland Speaks the Brett Veach was barking about this guy treatment. So he had high hopes. You get to the second year, he has to go on IR. He doesn't end up playing a game. And then he ends up getting suspended for the late part of the season. Like, you're already on IR. What are you doing? Where are you at? So I think this is the first positive news we had about Breland Speaks in more than a year. And you hope that he can continue to snowball that into making the conversation tough for Steve Spagnuolo. Usually right now, or I shouldn't say usually because it's been 1 year since they switched to that 4-3 scheme, they've been keeping 10 defensive linemen. And the way it really shapes out, if you examine what would be the 53, and like baseball, it may be expanded, so we'll see. But if it is 53 again, toward the end of that defensive line room, it does come down to a battle, a late battle between, you probably keep Taco Charlton or Breland Speaks. So there's your matchup. How's that going to go? Can Speaks do enough to say, all right, keep me instead of this guy who, in Charlton, he hasn't had a great career and he's been a disappointment, especially in Dallas, and then Miami wasn't in love with him, but he did have 5 sacks last year.
By the way, a little breaking news, Pete. Breaking news, and it's Chiefs related in here to Cody and Gold. So, you know, first show hosting together in full form, and we get it. According to Pro Football Talk, the Chiefs are closing in on a deal to sell the naming rights to Arrowhead Stadium.
Wow.
Ben Fisher of Sports Business Journal reporting that the defending Super Bowl champions are closing in on a deal to sell the naming rights to the Government Employees Health Association. You might know them as GEHA, right? See them on your check occasionally.
That's
insures
not
more
surprising.
Than 2 million government employees, has an existing sponsorship deal with the team and quarterback Patrick Mahomes, but apparently closing in on a deal that would likely be something like Yeehaw Field at Arrowhead Stadium.
Yeehaw!
What do we think here, fellas?
Yeehaw is not surprising because I believe, if I am not mistaken, that is who sponsors that series, the franchise that they did last year, which was similar to All or Nothing and Hard Knocks. I could tell you, fans aren't going to be in love with what is described in the Pro Football Talk article, Yeehaw Field at Arrowhead Stadium.
I but we're just going to call it Arrowhead. So it's fine.
It is similar to like Mile High was doing for a few years where people would just call it Mile High.
Yeah, but it did eventually shift. Like people don't still call it Mile High. It was Invesco at Mile High Stadium or whatever.
You're going to go.
People are going to call it Arrowhead for an eternity in this city.
I don't see that changing, at least in talk to each other. But yeah, it'll definitely be different. I wonder what the money is behind that. I know that this has been ongoing for years. I know that for a fact. So I imagine this was finally a good enough offer to go in that direction.
And I know that like some fans, and I'm curious, what do you think? Smitty's Garage Brew and Beer text line 913-576-7610. Report that the Chiefs are going to closing in on the selling the naming rights for the first time to Arrowhead Stadium. Reminder, Kansas City is a unicorn.
Yeah.
Where both Arrowhead and Kauffman have been without sponsorship names for a very long time. And I don't probably need to tell people just how much money is at stake with some of these things. I assume some fans are going to have a hard time swallowing that pill for a while. You get to keep calling it Arrowhead the same as I keep calling it Sandstone. I mean, it is what it is to you, but they get, you know, for them, it's about the television dollars.
We should say this, though. I don't think it's pronounced
Geha.
It's G-E-H-A. It'll be G-E-H-A Field.
Yeah.
In passing, you're never going to say that. It'll just be on every single media, I guess, pamphlet. It'll be in articles. It'll be on game day. You'll see, I'm sure, the signage quite a bit. But you're right. Is it really going to change the day-to-day? No. Will every fan be excited about this? Absolutely not.
Not a single fan will actually genuinely like that. No. It's called GEHA Stadium.
No.
But they also, there's some fans that will just probably settle in for it. Let us know what you think. 913-576-7610. A little breaking news that the Chiefs are reportedly closing in on selling the naming rights to Arrowhead Stadium. It would go under the name GEH Field of Arrowhead, we assume. They don't have the official word out on that, but
right.
Closing in on a deal. And you have to imagine, this is not the first conversation they've had about selling the naming rights.
And I'll say this, and I think this is probably an accurate depiction of how a lot of fans are going to feel from the Smitty's Garage Burger and Beer text line. One person says, gross. Another says, honestly, I don't care. People will continue to call it Arrowhead. I don't see it as
correct.
A major crazy change. Another from the 816, will be Arrowhead forever, boys. 913, with everything going on right now, do you think this is a ploy to eventually make it easier to rebrand the team as something other than the Chiefs?
No.
I don't. Another one, disaster. I was proud we hadn't sold out Arrowhead and Kauffman. And then another one from 785, it sucks, but it's inevitable. So
that's where I stand.
I agree.
Because one day, like, Kauffman Stadium is going to be called blah, blah, blah at Kauffman. And a little part of me will die on the inside. Just like the fans who are saying, gross, I hate it, disgusting. Like, but it is also the inevitability of it is also something. The same reason that if you're bothered by this, I just want to prepare you for another inevitability. An advertising patch on the Chiefs jersey. Because it is going to happen. It's going to happen in baseball too, and these are the inevitabilities of sports that are for profit. Like, I know we don't love it, but the Nike logo is doing the same thing.
Right.
So let's not pretend like advertisement hasn't, you know, infiltrated every last part of it. We'll talk more about it on the other side here when we get to What's Trending, plus Rob Manfred getting himself in trouble without me even trying to have to help. We'll do it next here on Cody and Gold.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.